All right, we're going today continue our study on prayer, and this is the fourth part of the series. I'll probably try to wrap it up next week. I don't like to go too far on the series, as sometimes you need to shake it up a little bit. But we're going to talk today about the main thing. The point I want us to get is that prayer causes us to care. Now, are you concerned about the salvation of people that are around you, whether it be at work or home or neighbors? What I found out in my life is that we can get a lot on our plate, and sometimes really important issues can get shoved to the back burner or shoved to the side. And sometimes I feel that we can have the attitude, well, what can I do? You know, maybe I don't know all the scriptures that I should know. So what can I do to help out? Well, what I found out, and this is very liberating, is that none of us can do it all, but we all can do something, right? We all can do something. And I believe that's where prayer can fit into our lifestyle, that even though we're busy, I want us to remember that we only have one lifetime to get it right. One lifetime. There is no second chances. There is no reincarnation. Because after this lifetime's over, eternity kicks in for us, right? You know, we go on somewhere to hopefully a better place for those who are born again and have asked Jesus Christ into their life and surrendered their life. And then, but you know, it's not that way for everybody. And that should bother us. Now, a little recap is week one, we talked about how prayer connects us with God. See, I'm not giving a lot of informational stuff in this series in a sense, but it's more relational. And, you know, and I may try to tie it up next week and give you the basic information on prayer. I might have a paper I'm going to hand out to you to give you some information. But I want us to see that, you know, prayer is just not really asking God for stuff, but it's really just getting to know God and spending time with Him. And that's important, because when we do that, then we start to, you know, flow, I guess, in the way that God wants us to flow. Well, after prayer connects us with God, we looked at our God is our Father. Christianity is the only religion that I know of that can call their God Dad. Our God is Dad. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, it says Abba Father, which means Daddy. You know, so that's an interesting thing that we have. Last week, we looked at the prayer takes persistence. You know, we need to be persistent in our prayer. And I do know this. I don't understand why totally, but God has chosen to use the vehicle of prayer to be able to accomplish great things upon this earth. Now, God is sovereign. I know that. But God also works within the Word. He will not violate His Word. Amen. And He talks in Scripture and about how important it is for His people to pray. And I believe that, you know, there's a lot of prayer warriors, especially old-time prayer warriors, if you read their books, they believe that God would not do anything on the earth unless it's by prayer. Now, you say, well, that sounds kind of limiting to God, but think about it. Fortunately, it doesn't depend on you or I. Amen? How many people on this planet are praying? You know? So surely one of them has got it right. Amen? Also, there's praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the will of God. So that's an opportunity. So I believe that's how God chose to do it. And today, like I mentioned, prayer causes care. All right, causes us to care, I mean. And that's important that we care. All right, Matthew 9, chapter 36 to 38. Jesus was, I just gotten done healing some people and setting them free. And he went into this little discourse here at the end of the chapter, I believe. And he says in verse 36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit here today. Lord, I thank you to stir up the gift inside of me, Lord. I want to use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. Lord, we just thank you right now. We bind Satan from trying to steal the word out of our hearts and out of our minds in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I jump into this, I want to mention a word or two here. Number one, the word disciple. Disciple. Now, we get it kind of mixed up sometimes. We kind of think once we become a Christian, that's as good as it gets. Now, I'm glad that it is good. You don't have to go to hell and stuff like that. I mean, that's all good. You have a relationship with God. But God wants us to take the relationship to the next step. We always should take a next step closer to God. And that's what being a disciple is. The disciple's talking about a disciplined follower on how important it is to enhance that relationship with God and come into the place where God wants us to be able to understand his system and how he does things so that we can flow with him. So that's important. And next it says here, to beseech the Lord of the harvest. So this is talking about prayer. And that's what we're looking about today. And it's going to be prayer for the lost. How important it is to pray for those who don't know Jesus. So the first point we're going to look at is the idea that prayer helps us to see as God sees. Now, sometimes we have the problem that we're not connected right because our eyes need to be connected to our heart as well as are connected to our head. And I think sometimes, you know, when we look at situations and circumstances, we look at them through the natural, and we look at them through maybe a process of learning that we've already experienced on earth, and we lose out on the idea and the tap in. Well, you know, I like the old saying, we don't do it as much now, but what would Jesus do? Or, you know, what would God do in this situation? You know, because sometimes we respond by our natural learning because our heart is not connected to our eyes where we can see things as God wants them to see. Because if we only look at the natural, we're going to miss out on the supernatural. And what I found out in my life is that prayer changes our perspective so that we can see more like God sees. And I know that if I'm out of prayer and not praying like I should, I start to lose touch with how my Heavenly Father works in this world today. Have you ever noticed that a different angle can help you to see clearly? You know, maybe, you know, how many has ever had the opportunity or you had to umpire first base at a Little League game? Dear Lord. Angles are everything. You know, you may see it one way, but far as the crowd is concerned in the bleachers, man, you're a bum. I mean, they're yelling your name. Are you blind? You know, you didn't see that right. You know, that's why I really love TiVo. You can really do the instant replay and go slow and fast and, you know, check out and see if the referees were right. But, you know, sometimes the angle that we look at situations will change totally how we respond. And if we're looking at it through our own natural eyes, we're only going to respond in the natural. But if we look at it through God's eyes, we start to see it different. I had a situation come up a while back, and I was in a little deal there and had something kind of negotiated out. All of a sudden, this guy that I was doing things for, he just kind of got rude. As a matter of fact, he really insulted me. And I said, whoa, where'd this come from? Because I knew him, and I just didn't understand it. And so I said, what is going on here? You know, I almost just said, heck with it, I'm out of here. You know, I don't need this. Life's too short, right? But I sucked it up. I'm not a buttercup, you know what I mean? But anyway, I found out several weeks later, he came up and apologized to me. He said he just got fired from his job that day. And he was going through a bad time. And see, if I would have just looked at him through my eyes, we could have got, you know, I don't fight. But I mean, before I was saved, I didn't even fight much before I was when I was unsaved either. But I mean, I could have mouthed back and really stirred up the situation. But I just bit my tongue and turned it over to God, let God do it. And so it reminded me that everybody has a story. You have a story, I have a story. And when we look at people sometimes, have you ever looked past them? And you don't really see them. You don't really see maybe what's going on in their life. What are they dealing with? What are they going through right now? And so we just look at them with the natural, and we can, you know, make the mistake. We just judge them. And Jesus says, you know, when he looked, you know, he seen something different when he looked at the people. His followers, his disciples, when he seen them out there, you know, maybe they were carrying on and getting in all kinds of trouble. And, you know, and the church people can just say, oh, they're a bunch of heathens. There's no hope. That's what they told about me. I've had people come up and tell me after I became a Christian years later that I didn't think you'd ever make it. But see, they were looking at me in the natural. And they weren't looking at me like God sees me. I was a lost sheep. I was out there. And how important it is that it helps us to look at. Because what happens with us when we get into the busyness of life, you and I mean, I don't know about you, but life is so, it can be so stressing right now. With all the demands on us, I mean, with, you know, technology has made everything so instantaneous that the demands on us are just boom, 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 boom all the time. And have you ever tried to, now this is illegal, but don't do this at home, but have you ever driven 100 miles an hour by something and then tried to explain what it was? Well, you miss a few things, don't you? Hopefully you're watching the road, you're not looking off to the side like me, but anyway, and then you turn around, you come back and drive 20 mile an hour by it. Wow, you can start to see the world, man. You can start to see what's going on. Prayer slows us down. It slows us down on the inside so that we're not so sporadic and not chaotic in our life. So that we can start to see things for what it really is and how important it is, you know, that we enjoy the moment and not just look past people. I remember how, you know, the fact that when I got close to God, it started to change me on the inside and how important it is. And I'll be honest with you people, you know, prayer is one of those deals. You know, I really feel sometimes it's an ebb and a flow like the water. You got high tide and low tide. And it's like that with a lot of things in life. There's sometimes it just seems like it's bone dry and sometimes it's really wet. You know what I mean? And so, but still, nevertheless, we need to do certain things in our life to try to get closer to God so that we can pray and experience everything that he has. One thing I found out about God is that when prayer causes us to care, because God can see people's potential while you and I can only look at their progress, where they're at right now. Just like when, you know, just look at yourself in the mirror. Maybe you feel down on yourself. Maybe you don't feel you're good enough for anybody else. Because you look at your progress, but God can see your potential. I want to remind you of that. Because where you see yourself now is not probably where God wants you to be, because none of us have arrived yet. We're still on the journey. We're still in the process. We're still trying to get to the place that he wants us to be. So don't give up. Don't give in. Just keep following him and walk in the way that he wants you to do. Now, Jesus in this passage, when he looked out, see, he could see the people. Like I mentioned before, a lot of times we look by them, we look past them. But Jesus looked out, and I'll be honest, when he looked at them, he said they were sheep without a shepherd. And see, only somebody with a shepherd's heart, you don't have to be a pastor to have a shepherd's heart. You should have a shepherd's heart, each of us should. As a parent, you should have a shepherd's heart for your kids, that you want to care for your kids. We all should have a shepherd's heart for the world around us, because Jesus could see them as lost sheep, and some things about lost sheep, you know, that I want to just kind of throw out here. Number one, hence the word lost. They're lost. They don't know where they're going. Oh, they think they're going somewhere. But they're not going where God wants them to go. They're down and out. The picture here is of an animal that's been wounded and torn and left on the ground, and it can't get up no more. It doesn't know what to do. Have you ever been so injured on the inside that you just didn't know what to do? Well, that's a lost sheep. And Jesus looked out and seeing the people probably in their hustle and bustle, going to work and doing all these other things and buying and selling, but he said, you're still lost. You're still broken because you don't know me. And that's how important it is that we as a people of believers take it serious, because these sheep are out there and technically they're just wolf food, right? The wolf is out there to eat them. He's going to get them. You know, because I don't know about you, but a sheep doesn't have very many defensive moves. Just a ball of fur, man. They can take them out at any time. And one thing about sheep also, they follow others blindly. How many sheep have been led astray? It can happen. That's why we need a shepherd. That's why I need a good shepherd. Because somebody has to be there to lead them. All right, the next point I want to mention is how prayer connects us with the heart of God. This might sound kind of crazy, but our desire should be for our heart to beat as one with God. Now, that sounds out there, don't it? To me, it does, even saying it. Our heart needs to beat as one with God. The heart of God, the heart of our Father. There's only one way that can happen is we've got to be connected with Him. We got to cry for what makes God cry. I don't cry very much, but I will cry for lost people. I do that every now and then. When I get to thinking about somebody or praying for them, something really touches me, and I start to weep. Because I know what it's like not to know God. I know what it's like not to know what my eternity is going to be, and the fear that can come into that. And that's why it's important that we connect with God's heart. We need to be in somewhat of a divine alignment with God, to line ourselves up with God. We all have a free will. We all have choices that we make. You can choose to do anything you want within reason. And you can even choose to do illegal things if you think you can get away with it. God gave us that right to choose. Choose God. Choose life with Him. Choose to follow with Him. You know, Jesus felt compassion. Like I mentioned, when you feel that compassion for people come upon you, to be honest, it's one of the most awesome things you can feel. What it's talking about here is the idea, it's kind of being moved on the inside. In the old King James, in the old language, it talks about his bowels kind of yearned for him, the people, because he knew how lost they were, because he cared. See, it's not human pity. You and I can have pity on somebody. But it's talking about divine compassion, because pity looks down while compassion lifts up. When you see somebody maybe torn apart on drugs or alcohol or just life's a mess, do we judge them or do we have compassion on them? Do we see them through the eyes of maybe the hurt and the pain they put up on their family or maybe you? Or do we see them through the eyes of God? That's why we need to pray. Because in the natural, by our own ability, we can't love these people. Our love runs out. But our love will never run out if we have the strength of God. Because that's the grace that God gives, and it keeps us going. Because prayer causes us to care. What amazes me, and I still can't get over it, maybe you guys have already, is the fact that God loves people that I don't love. I can't believe He does that. How could God love people that I don't love? But that needs to change. I need to change. That's the most ironic thing about some of this stuff, is the fact about how much God loves everybody. Number one, we are special, but we're not more special than anybody else. Are you listening to me? We are special. You need to see that. But we're no special than the brother or sister sitting next to you today. Because God loves us all the same. And what I found is that prayer is one of the things that can help us to get past ourselves. Jesus was always about His Father's business, and His Father's business was getting people saved. The last point I want to look at is the idea of praying for lost souls, and this is kind of really what I wanted to get to, on how important it is to pray for the lost, and how the lost is definitely on God's heart. Here Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Send out workers. Okay, so we need to pray that God will send out workers. The word send there is talking about to thrust them out due to urgent necessity. I mean, how serious is it? You know, if you look at it as a heaven and hell issue, it's pretty serious. If you actually see we're lost souls, what happens to them? You know, and what I found out is that when I pray for God to send out laborers to the harvest, I have to be willing to go too. Isaiah said, "Here I am, God, send me." Isaiah 6. "Here I am, God. I'm available. Send me." And all we got to do is just tell about the love of Jesus and how God can change your life. See, God's heart burns for world evangelism because, and that's why we pray, because prayer causes us to care. The worst thing that can happen to you and I is when we don't care no more. I remember, I believe it was Hezekiah in the Old Testament. He was a king, and some people came from a different land. And he showed them everything in the kingdom, just how God had blessed. And then the prophet came to him and said, "What'd you do that for?" This is paraphrase, you know. This is the Brad Gray version. He said, "What'd you do? You know, they're going to come and they're going to attack you and they're going to take all your stuff. You showed them all the good stuff. But it's not going to happen in your lifetime, but it will happen kind of in your kids." He was happy that it wasn't going to happen in his lifetime. Dear Lord, that's not caring. That's not caring. So that's why we need to ask God to help us to care. There's a world out there that needs us. And I believe that prayer will give us a passion for people. And we need to pray for open hearts to come to Christ. You know, I found out if we're prayerless, we're powerless in evangelism. Basically, no prayer, no power. Now, I know it comes back to this. Some are going through, "Oh, I don't want to pray an hour." You don't have to pray an hour. You just pray what you can. I don't care if you play 61-minute prayers, you know. Takes all day, whatever you want to do. But we just need to get better at prayer. We need to get that connection back with God. We need to pray for the lost. You know, I remember staying up hours in the night praying for somebody that I knew that I loved, that I didn't know for sure if they knew Jesus Christ, and their time was getting real close. I prayed till I got peace. And I won't technically know till I get to heaven if I was successful. But I did lose sleep and I did cry because I cared so much because time was running out. God, we need Him so much to work. I believe that, you know, here's a vicious cycle. I want you to think about this as I close. We don't pray because we do not care. And we do not care because we do not pray. And that's how it works. Just like in anything, we get into a cycle, and it's hard to break that merry-go-round. And I'm not wanting to beat you over the head and make you, you know, make this no fun, because I do know that prayer is one of those things, it's the most liberating things you're going to do. Just get quiet before God, pray, and then shut up and let Him talk sometimes. Amen? Just simple as that. How we can do that? Does God speak audibly? No, probably not. But He might talk to you in your heart and mention something to you. Because we need to remember that the Lord wants people to get salvation. Because, you know, think about it. When God turned over the planet to Adam, He gave him dominion. We have dominion. You know, it's our Christian responsibility to be able to pray and to bring in change on this planet. You know, and a lot of people, I'll be honest, I've been thinking about this. There's a lot of things, you know, if you study church history, I want to say back in the 60s and the 70s, you know, there was a lot of moving of God's Spirit. I know there's a timing for a lot of things and God's sovereign plan. But, you know, the people prayed. There's a lot of prayer meetings. And I do believe that prayer has probably diminished in our culture today due to the fact that we're so strung out and wore out and running here and running there. You know what I mean? And if we could just try to turn that corner and get back, I believe we'll start to see God start to do some things. Because God cares, because prayer causes us to care, amen? And as we get back to Him, so, you know, I just want to encourage you to, and I'd like to help you in any way I can to help your prayer life. Because I've learned over the years, it's taken a long time, and it goes, like I said, I'm not on fire over time with my prayer life. I'm not going to lie to you. But I do know there's ways to get it back. And I'm going to, like you say, next week I'm going to have some more information that I hope will help you to get closer to God. Because that's really what prayer is all about. Let's pray.